Welcome to the Model Railroader, your ultimate destination for all things railroading. From trains.com, we bring you step-by-step modeling and construction projects, insightful reviews, tips from the experts, and more. This program is proudly presented by Aftersight, a community hub for audio news, entertainment, and resources. Find us at aftersight.org. This program is intended to be used solely by individuals who are blind or have low vision. All aboard!
Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul. Today, we will be reading the following articles, News and Reviews, and Ask Model Railroader. The first section is News and Reviews. N-Scale Locomotives, Electromotive Division NW2 Diesel Locomotive. Burlington Northern, Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe, and Union Pacific. Two road numbers per scheme. Light-emitting diode lighting including directional golden-white headlights and number boxes with light piping. Body-mounted knuckle couplers. Direct current model, $135. With DCC, $235. With DCC and sound, $335. Kato USA, reachable at 847-781-9500 or katousa.com. N-Scale Rolling Stock, 52-foot, 6-inch, 15-panel mill gondola with dents. Pittsburgh and Lake Erie, Chicago, Burlington and Quincy, Chicago, Rock Island and Pacific, Conrail, Erie Lackawanna, Great Northern, New York Central, Nickel Plate Road, and St. Louis, San Francisco, or Frisco. Six numbers each, light, medium, or heavy dents, Pullman standard or dreadnought ends with appropriate brake system, metal wheels and knuckle couplers, minimum radius 9.75 inches, $37.95, Bluford Shops, reachable at bluford-shops.com. 52-foot, 6-inch drop-end gondola, Great Northern, St. Louis, San Francisco, or Frisco, New York Central, and Union Pacific. One road number per scheme. Positionable drop ends. Detailed underbody with separate factory-applied components. Easy Mate Mark II couplers and blackened metal RP25 contour wheels. $42. Bachmann Trains, reachable at 215-533-1600. Or BachmannTrains.com. Pullman Standard 60-foot container flat car. Trailer train and TTX, parentheses, all with VTTX reporting marks, close parentheses. New and weathered paint schemes. Multiple road numbers per scheme. Die-cast metal underframe. Detailed plastic deck with optional pedestals to accommodate 20 and 40-foot containers. JTC 70-ton trucks with metal wheel sets. Body-mounted JTC very real knuckle couplers. Unweathered car, $48.95. With weathering, $49.95. Jacksonville Terminal Company, reachable at jtcmodeltrains.com. Broadway Limited N. Redding Company T1484. An unusual steam locomotive, born of wartime necessity, has joined Broadway Limited Imports N-Scale lineup. The Reading Company Class T1484 Northern, converted from 280 consolidation locomotives near the end of World War II, mostly handled fast freight, but also pulled passenger and coal trains. In 1945, wartime restrictions kept Reading from buying new locomotives, but the railroad nonetheless found itself in need of a supercharged steam engine to pull fast freight. The answer was to rebuild existing engines. Reading shops started with the boiler and firebox from the Class I-10SA consolidation, adding a new stretched frame, longer smoke box, and other components from Baldwin Locomotive Works. Between 1945 and 1947, 30 Class T1s were built. Although they filled a vital need for the railroad, they didn't last long. All but four, retained for excursion duties, were retired by 1958. The quote-unquote Iron Horse Rambles, excursions ended in 1964, and those remaining engines were sold in 1965. All four survive today. Our sample is numbered 2101, the second T1 to come out of Reading shops. The model strongly resembles photos of the prototype and its siblings printed in several books from the David P. Morgan Memorial Library Collection. Its black paint is smoothly applied, and the lettering is straight and opaque. The tiny lettering on the back of the tender is legible under magnification. The model has wire grab irons, handrails, and uncoupling levers, as well as turned brass boiler valves and bell. Other separate details are engineering plastic. The blackened metal valve gear and side rods were nicely done. There is a working smoke generator in the smokestack. I didn't test this feature. The model's drivers were only 64 scale inches in diameter compared to the prototype's 70-inch drivers. However, that's to be expected if a scale model is going to maintain a prototypical spacing between the drivers, as this one does. The other dimensions I checked matched or came within a few scale inches of those on a builder's drawing published in Steam Locomotives of the Reading and P&R Railroads by Edward H. Weisfesser, Greenberg, 1988. The locomotive has a recommended minimum curve radius of 9.75 inches. Our sample had no trouble running forward or back on the 14-inch curves and number 6 turnouts on our MRNT State Line Route Project layout. All the wheels on our sample model were in gauge, and the working knuckle couplers on both front and back were mounted at the correct height. The locomotive's Paragon 4 DCC decoder is dual mode, meaning the model will run under either direct current or DCC. I tested it first on direct current. This model's DC performance was better than most I've tested. A startup sound routine played when the voltage reached just over 8 volts. When the throttle reached 9 volts, the engine crept along the rails at a stately 3.4 scale miles per hour. At our direct current power pack's top voltage of 13 volts, the engine sped at 94 scale miles per hour. The locomotive delivered an even greater speed range under DCC control. Its speed at step 1 was too low for a test bench speedometer to detect, less than 0.1 scale mile per hour. At speed step 28, it zipped along at 118 scale mile per hour. This is faster than the prototype's speed limit of 70 miles per hour, but within the engine's capabilities. Finally, I plugged in our BLI Rolling Thunder unit. I enjoyed the deep throb of the subwoofer with each chuff. Speaking of sound, the decoders in the Christmas and 4th of July fantasy schemes are loaded with specialty holiday-themed sound sets. The manufacturer's website has instructions on how to switch these to normal T1 sound effects at broadway-limited.com/pages/n-locomotive-instruction-manuals. Broadway Limited has made a model that runs as good as it looks. It sounds great too, especially if you have a Rolling Thunder under your layout. Facts and features. Price, $449.99. Manufacturer, Broadway Limited Imports, 9 East Tower Circle, Ormond Beach, Florida, 32174, or broadway-limited.com. Era, 1945 to 1958. Excursion locomotives went through 1964. Paint schemes, Reading Company in-service scheme in 3 road numbers, American Freedom Train, Blue Mountain and Reading, Chessy Steam Special, Christmas Fantasy Scheme, Conrail Steam Special Fantasy Scheme, Delaware and Hudson Centennial Scheme with smoke deflectors, Independence Day Fantasy Scheme, and Iron Horse Rambles Excursion Scheme in 3 numbers. 1 road number per scheme unless otherwise noted. Also available painted, but unlettered. Features. Minimum radius, 9.75 inches. Paragon 4 dual mode DCC sound decoder. Rolling Thunder sound transmitter. Smoke unit. Weight. Engine only, 3.3 ounces. With tender, 5.8 ounces. Rapido N-scale short barrel or hopper. A National Steel Car Short Barrel or Hopper is part of the growing N-scale freight car lineup from Rapido Trains. The ready-to-run car has Barber S2 100-ton trucks, 36-inch metal wheel sets, and etched metal crossover platforms. The samples we received are decorated as Canadian National 346029 from the railroads 346000 through 346084 series, and Ontario Northland 6512, part of the carriers 6500 through 6534 series. The 35-foot cars were built by National Steel Car in 1967. The full-size short-barrel cars transported ore from mines in Dane and Temagami, Ontario, to Dominion Foundries and Steel Company in Hamilton, Ontario. Cars from both railroads could be seen running together in unit trains operating between the mines and mill. The tandem mines closed in 1990, and the ore hoppers were off the CN and ONT rosters by the mid-1990s. Some of the cars were given new leases on life. Canadian National converted some to scale test cars. Belt Railway of Chicago converted 14 into ballast hoppers. The Rapido model has an injection-molded plastic body. The top of the model features longitudinal roof hatches and four doorstops. At the middle of the hatches are two masts with the tires picked in black paint. On prototype cars, the tires contacted scrolls on overhead bins at the ore mines. This, in turn, opened the hatch covers in preparation for loading. The end platforms are engineering plastic pieces glued to the die-cast metal frame. The grab irons, handrails, stanchions, and stirrup steps are molded. The plastic uncoupling levers are freestanding. See-through, etched metal crossover platforms run the width of the car on both ends. The B end of the car has plastic brake appliances and detailed piping molded to match the body color. The brake wheel is a separate, factory-applied part. Similar to the HO version, the underbody of the N-scale barrel or hopper is made up of multiple parts. The sills, floor, and outlet gates are one die-cast metal piece. The center sills, body bolsters, bolster blocks, and draft gear boxes are a single plastic casting. The plastic draft gear box covers are secured with Phillips head screws. Both of our samples have smooth, evenly applied paint with all but the tiniest lettering legible under magnification. The herald and data placement matches prototype images I found in books and online. The road name and herald on the ONT car was crooked, but that happens on full-size cars too. Drawings of the short barrel or hopper were published in the 1970 Car and Locomotive Cyclopedia of American Practice, Simmons Boardman Publishing Corporation. The model closely follows published dimensions. The Barber S2 100-ton roller-bearing trucks are molded in black on the ONT car and mineral brown on the CN model. The body-mounted knuckle couplers are at the correct height, and the 36-inch metal wheel sets are properly gauged. The hopper weighs 0.8 ounces, which is correct per National Model Railroad Association recommended practice 20.1. I put the two short barrel cars in a freight train on Milwaukee, Racine, and Troy state line route layout. The cars ran without issue while being pushed and pulled in a main line freight and during yard switching. In addition to the short barrel cars, Rapido offers long barrel cars decorated for CN in mineral brown, ONT in chevron scheme, the Andersons Incorporated black with RMGX reporting marks, GATX Capital black with GACX marks, and GE Rail Services in black with NIHX marks. Though the short and long barrel ore hoppers started life in Canada, examples of the car can be found throughout the North American rail system today. Signed, Cody Grivno, Senior Editor. Facts and features. Price, single car, $42.95, three-pack, $128.85, or 6-pack, $257.70. Manufacturer, Rapido Trains, 500 Alden Road, Unit 21, Markham, Ontario, Canada, L3R5H5, or rapidotrains.com. Era, 1967 to mid-1990s. Road names, Canadian National, Mineral Brown, and Scale Test Car, and Ontario Northland, Progressive Green, also available undecorated. Features: 36-inch metal wheel sets, correctly gauged, body-mounted plastic couplers at correct height, minimum radius 9 3/4 inches, weight 0.8 ounce, correct per National Model Railroad Association or NMRA, recommended practice 20.1. Scale Trains HO Trinity Refrigerator Car. Scale Trains has added a Trinity 82-foot, 7,883 cubic foot capacity mechanical refrigerator car to its rivet counter line. The modern era car, offered with and without sound, features an injection molded plastic body, die-cast metal Type E lower shelf couplers, and prototype-specific details. The sample we received is decorated as BNSF Railway 793303, part of the railroad's 793000 through 793809 series. The prototype cars were built by Trinity Rail at its Oklahoma City plant under file 2829 between February 2001 and September 2002. The model has a late Thermo King refrigeration unit. Scale Trains also offers reefers with carrier and early Thermo King units. The contemporary freight car has a one-piece body with many separate, factory-applied parts, including door rods, door tracks, ladders, stirrup steps, and jack pads. Normally, the A end of the car is less detailed, but that's not the case with this model. The fuel tank end cage has a separate plastic frame with wire grab irons. The access platform has a see-through, photo-etched metal deck. Below the deck is a fuel tank with separately applied fillers and gauges. Features on the B end of the car include the brake wheel, brake stand and chain, a plastic tack board with a white frame and dark brown boards, and a photo-etched stainless steel see-through Morton crossover platform. Plastic ladders and a crossover railing round out the details on the brake end of the car. Both ends of the car are fitted with freestanding plastic uncoupling levers and train line hoses. The body-mounted couplers are painted a rusty brown color. Like other Scale Trains offerings, the couplers don't have trip pins. The car rides on American Steel Foundry's 100-ton trucks with raised foundry data, truck-mounted brake beams, and Timken rotating bearing caps. The 36-inch machined metal wheel sets have 1/100-inch wide tread. Our sound-equipped sample has electrical pickups that rub against the backs of the wheels. The pickups affected the free-rolling qualities of the model. A track-powered capacitor circuit is used to operate the sound system. A touch sensor, activated by placing 3 fingers above the door, turns the sounds on. At startup, a light-emitting diode control panel light on the refrigeration unit illuminates. Similar to the prototype, the sounds randomly turn on and off. A small push button on the bottom of the car is used to adjust the volume. The BNSF car is painted white with multicolor graphics. All of the lettering is legible and follows prototype placement. The model dimensions closely follow elevation drawings in BNSF Railway Freight Cars Volume 1 by Robert C. Del Grosso, Great Northern Pacific Publications, 2004. I operated the car in a short train on our Wisconsin and Southern layout. Though the electrical pickups caused some minor drag, the reefer ran without issue while being pulled in a train and spotted at East Troy Cold Storage. The Scale Trains HO Trinity Refrigerator Car is a well-detailed model that accurately follows the lines of the prototype. The sound system and illuminated control light add to the cool factor of this contemporary freight car. Signed, Cody Grivno, Senior Editor. Facts and features. Price, without sound, $54.99. With sound, $89.99. Manufacturer, Scale Trains, 4901 Old Tasso Road, Northeast, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37312, scaletrains.com. Era, February 2001 to present. Road name, BNSF Railway, Carrier and Thermo King, Early and Late, Refrigeration Unit. 8 road numbers each. Features: 36-inch machined metal wheel sets, correctly gauged. Die-cast metal semi-scale lower shelf Type E couplers at correct height. Weight: 6.4 ounces, correct per National Model Railroad Association, or NMRA, recommended practice 20.1. The next section is Ask a Model Railroader by Stephen Ott. Adding team track operations to a layout. Question: I keep seeing references to a quote-unquote team track on track plans. What is a team track, what is it for, and how can it be incorporated into operations? Signed, Damian Bushi. Answer: the idea of the team track probably dates back to not long after the invention of the railroad. After all, the team track is literally nothing, a track alongside an empty space. A team track is where the railroad spots freight cars consigned to an industry that doesn't have a railroad spur of its own. The consignee would then send trucks, or earlier, horse-drawn wagons, to unload the freight into. The name team track derives from the teams of horses that pulled those wagons. A team track can be as simple as a section of track next to an empty lot, either paved or gravel, or it could include fixtures like the freight ramp Tom Kilmoski built for his HO scale Georgia Northeastern layout. See the photo above. Team tracks that frequently receive bulk cargoes might be equipped with equipment to aid unloading, such as movable conveyors for coal or gravel, air blowers for unloading pressure differential covered hoppers, or pumps for liquids such as fuel oil. A team track could be a designated siding in a yard or at a freight house, a repurposed spur that used to serve a now-shuttered industry, or an otherwise unused stretch of track leading to an active industry. This latter option can complicate delivering or picking up cars at the industry, but complications are realistic and make the local switch job more fun. Operationally, team tracks are what we call quote-unquote universal industries, in that they can conceivably receive almost any cargo, depending on what unmodeled industries you decide are nearby on your layout. Modelers like including them because they provide a justification for adding different types of cars to the layout. If you use a scheme like car cards and waybills to route your freight cars, invent a few off-layout industries and print up waybills dispatching cars meant for them to the team track. Some candidates in the cars they would receive might be an oil dealer, tank cars, a lumber yard, conventional or center beam flat cars, an appliance dealer, box cars, and a coal dealer, hoppers. Each would receive only one or two cars a week, which would explain why those industries don't rate spurs of their own. Question: now that I'm retired, I'm planning a two-level, around-the-walls model railroad. My space is roughly 12 by 18 feet. I'm 5 feet 6 inches tall, so the lower deck will be at a height of 38 to 40 inches and will be 18 to 20 inches deep. I want to have a separation between the levels of 18 to 20 inches. The upper level will be 20 to 24 inches deep. Rather than a helix, I prefer using a gradual hill climb to reach the upper level. Math was never my strong suit, and I was hoping you could help me figure out how to maintain a grade of 1 to 1.5%. Based on a rise of 18 inches and a grade of 1 to 1.5%, how do I determine how long a run I need to get from the lower level to the upper level? Signed, Joe Grindich, Center Conway, New Hampshire. Answer: what you're talking about is called a quote-unquote no-lix, a model railroading neologism derived from no-helix. As Jerry Leone explains in the Model Railroader's Handbook, quote, depending on the height of the second deck, this method can take a lot of linear space to execute and potentially puts the whole layout on a somewhat steep grade requiring either helper engines or shorter trains, end quote. This is the issue you run into. A train room of only 12 by 18 feet doesn't offer a whole lot of space for a long run. If you plan an around-the-walls layout with one central peninsula oriented the long way in the room, a rough estimate gives a maximum mainline run in the vicinity of 90 feet or less. Grade is a percentage that expresses the percentage of rise over run. To calculate the grade on a double-deck layout, divide the rise by the run. To calculate the rise, multiply the run by the grade. So if you want a grade of 1.5% in that 90 feet, that yields a rise of 1.35 feet, or about 16 inches. You might think you could live with that, but that's not taking 2 or 3 inches of benchwork thickness into account, or flat areas. The longer your yards, towns, and industrial switching districts are, the less rise you'll get out of that 1.5 maximum grade with shelf depths of 18 to 24 inches. Tom Ebert, whose HO scale double deck no-licks layout was featured in Great Model Railroads 2020, makes it work with a maximum grade of 2%. But he had an 11 by 27 foot space to work with and kept his upper deck quite skinny, in some areas as narrow as 6 inches. Since your room is 2/3 the length of Tom's, you're facing some tough compromises if you want to stick with your double deck idea. Perhaps a steeper grade, some switchbacks, a train elevator, or a track cassette to move trains from one deck to the other could help. Thank you for joining us for the Model Railroader magazine, read by Jason Consul.
You've been listening to the Model Railroader, brought to you by Trains.com. That's TRANES.com, in collaboration with AfterSight. If you've enjoyed this episode, we invite you to visit our website at AfterSight.org for more audio editions and original podcasts. For additional inquiries or to contact us, call us at 303-786-7777 or email contact@aftersight.org. Thank you for listening.